So it was that Mim came into the tale of the children of Húrin. For he stumbled up on his knees before Túrin's feet and begged for his life. "I am old," said he, "and poor. Only a dwarf, as you say, not an orc. Mim is my name. Do not let them slay me, master, for no cause, as orcs would." Then Túrin pitied him in his heart, but he said, "Poor you seem, Mim, though that would be strange in a dwarf. But we are poorer, I think, houseless and friendless men. If I said that we do not spare for pity's sake only, being in great need, what would you offer for ransom?" "I do not know what you desire, lord," said Mim warily. "At this time, little enough," said Túrin, looking about him bitterly with rain in his eyes. "A safe place to sleep in out of the damp woods. Doubtless you have such for yourself." "I have," said Mim, "but I cannot give it in ransom. I am too old to live under the sky."
"You need grow no older," said Undrog, stepping up with a knife in his unharmed hand. "I can spare you that."
"Lord," cried Mim in great fear, clinging to Túrin's knees, "if I lose my life, you lose the dwelling, for you will not find it without Mim. I cannot give it, but I will share it. There is more room in it than once there was. So many have gone forever." And he began to weep.
"Your life is spared, Mim," said Túrin. "Till we come to his lair, at least," said Androg. But Túrin turned upon him and said, "If Mim brings us to his home without trickery, and it is good, then his life is ransomed, and he shall not be slain by any man who follows me. So I swear." Then Mim kissed Túrin's knees and said,
"Mim will be your friend, lord. At first he thought you were an elf by your speech and your voice. But if you are a man, that is better. Mim does not love elves."
"Where is this house of yours?" said Androg. "It must be good indeed to share it with a dwarf, for Androg does not like dwarves. His people brought few good tales of that race out of the east."
"They left worse tales of themselves behind them," said Mim. "Judge my home when you see it. But you will need light on your way, you stumbling men. I will return in good time and lead you."
Then he rose and picked up his sack. "No, no," said Androg. "You will not allow this, surely, captain. You would never see the old rascal again."
"It is growing dark," said Túrin. "Let him leave us some pledge. Shall we keep your sack and its load, Mim?" But at this the dwarf fell on his knees again in great trouble.
"If Mim did not mean to return, he would not return for an old sack of roots," he said. "I will come back. Let me go."
"I will not," said Túrin. "If you will not part with your sack, you must stay with it. A night under the leaves will make you pity us in your turn, maybe." But he marked, and others also, that Mim set more store by the sack and his load than it seemed worth to the eye.
They led the old dwarf away to their dismal camp, and as he went, he muttered in a strange tongue that seemed harsh with ancient hatred. But when they put bonds on his legs, he went suddenly quiet. And those who were on the watch saw him sitting on through the night, silent and still as a stone, save for his sleepless eyes that glinted as they roved in the dark.